Anastasia Williams, whatever, however you want to promo it, professional basketball, women's basketball player, you are listening to the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast.
Wait, what do I say?
Your name, women's professional basketball player, you're listening to the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast. She's practicing it right now.
All right.
Perfection is key. That's why you're a pro. She's still practicing.
Hey, my name's Anastasia Williams, women's professional basketball player, and you're listening to the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast.
Hey, one take, Anastasia. We out. That's it. Good job.
Thanks.
The Mike Kaplan 100 podcast has been brought to you by RefereeRant.com. This is our craft. This is our skill. This is our voice. We have something to say. Referee Rant was conceived by a lowly official, me, looking to make side money on the weekend. Not that he didn't take it serious. He never thought of it as a skill, a craft, right there for the taking to master. Flag football turned into softball, softball to lacrosse, then basketball. Football, soccer, baseball soon followed. We're on the field. We're on the court. You may ref better than us, but you can't write like us. You might write better than us, but you can't ref like us. Marrying art and officiating. Find us at RefereeRant.com. Fight.
Welcome to the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast. I'm your host, Mike Kaplan, owner of East Fitness, Huntington High School girls varsity basketball coach, and pro performance specialist. I started this podcast to interview my athletes so they can share their stories and journeys about their respective sports they participate in and the journey in which they got to where they are. I've had the pleasure of training many wonderful athletes, and we are simply providing a platform for them to share their perspectives and stories. This is the Mike Kaplan 100 podcast. Today, our guest, very excited for this one, Anastasia Williams, professional basketball player, also a trainer here with me at East, just came home. What's going on?
Hey, how are you? Nothing much. It's good to be back here in the States.
So let's just run through for everyone listening just a little bit about your background, high school to college, and then where you've been so far professionally.
All right. Well, I went to St. John the Baptist High School, graduated 2012. After that, I played Division I college basketball at Fairleigh Dickinson University in Teaneck, and I had actually gotten injured my freshman year, so I had one more year of eligibility where I went to University of Bridgeport, Division II school, finished out, got my master's degree over there, and was fortunate enough after that to start my overseas professional basketball career playing in Mexico my first year. Had a really good season. Ended up after that playing in Kosovo over in Europe, then over in Switzerland. After everything with COVID, season got cut short. But then I just came back from Portugal about 2 days ago. So that's been a great experience.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, just naming all those places, that's got to be just cool experiences, just kind of traveling the world and getting to do what you love and play basketball. What would you say what is your favorite place that you've played at?
Surprisingly, I would probably say Mexico. Just because it was my first year, it was a lot of excitement, a lot of new experiences, a lot of new people that I got to see. And their culture over there, they love basketball. Basketball is like their main sport right behind soccer. So we had a lot of fans coming to the games, being supportive, always coming over to ask for pictures, autographs at the end of the game. So it was a really cool together atmosphere over there. So
that's awesome. Well, what about like just in general, maybe a team or a place, a venue that you played at? What was the coolest place you got to play at? Maybe it was the busiest, you know, with fans or just, you know, the atmosphere of the facility.
I would say probably over my second season when I was in Kosovo, the gym probably was like, I would say 2 degrees Fahrenheit. They had no heat, absolutely no warmth at all. So we really were playing in basically the outside while we were playing inside. So that was pretty intense. But over there, too, the fans were really good. The gyms would always be packed. Seating was like stadium seating almost, like in a regular NBA, WNBA arena. So it was cool over there to have a lot of people come out and support, especially being at women's basketball. because right in the States, we don't get as many people, as much support. So over there, it was pretty cool to see all the people come out and support us.
That's awesome. I mean, playing overseas has to be, you know, such a cool experience. What was the adjustment like? One, just culturally, language-wise, you know, how they deal with, you know, somebody new coming in. You know, how was that adjustment process? What was that like for you?
For only two of my teams, I had other Americans on the team, so that was not much of a huge adjustment because you have someone from your same country as you, knowing your same language, food, culture, all that. But when I recently came back from Portugal a couple of days ago, I was the only American on the team, which was a little difficult in the beginning because you have maybe a couple of girls who speak English here and there, but for the most part, you're trying to understand their culture, trying to understand their language, trying to pick up on what certain plays are with their language barrier and all that. But the language is definitely the hardest thing. Culture as well, just the difference on how they see basketball, more so like finesse over in Europe as opposed to in the United States, where it's really like aggressive, body to body, really in like the paint, fouls, all that aggressive excitement. But that would be the biggest difference for me.
Now, you know, you being here, you know, when the courts are down, you're doing stuff on the court, you're training with me. You know, I know how hard you work and, you know, how much time you put into this, you know, your dream to play, you know, professional. Describe to, you know, some of the younger athletes listening just what it takes to get to where you are, how much you had to sacrifice, maybe what you gave up to be able to do what you're doing, just a day in your life, you know, when you're in your training mode, and then, you know, a day in your life, you know, being a professional athlete in season.
Well, I really started getting focused probably back when I was, this is in middle school. It started with the little things like when we're out for certain AU tournaments, being in your room at a certain time, not fooling around, focusing on the games you have the next day. My mom always really kept me focused with that when it comes to knowing what you want to do and being able to understand you have to sacrifice not going to prom so much and high school parties, this, that, and the third, but really focusing on this is going to be worth it one day and knowing that this one party, two parties I could miss to hopefully have a professional future in whatever sports career, basketball, football, soccer, baseball, whatever you want to do. So sacrifice is really important. Kids out there really have to understand that if you want something, you can't be like the rest of your friends, the rest of your family members, whoever, doing certain things that they're doing, but you have certain goals that they might not, and they don't have the same vision as you. So you really got to put yourself first and understand where the path that you want to take.
That's great. I mean, what about when you're overseas? You know, let's just go through the last location in Portugal. What would be, you know, a normal day on a game day? What's that like?
For me, it was a little different because, as I said before, their culture is not the same. A lot of going out and partying, but that's what they do over there. It's a lot different than America and what I'm used to. For me, a normal game day, I'd wake up early, eat before the games. We usually had games around like early afternoon, so it wasn't much downtime I had for the whole day, which was great. I like to just get up and play right away and have the rest of the day to relax. After I eat, go up to the gym, stretch for about an hour, get some shots up before everyone else comes into the gym. So I have my mind prepared. Always have my headphones in, listening to music, so I just cancel out all the outside noise so I could focus on the game for the upcoming.
Yeah, I mean, I know this season you had, you know, unbelievable, you know, season stat-wise. Did you have any wild superstitions that you had to do every day? You know, I mean, I know your stats are just incredible this season. Was there anything different you did superstition-wise, or...
I have a lot of superstition. I have to have like a certain shirt I wear under my jerseys. I have to eat the same breakfast every game day, which is just eggs and toast. Always the same breakfast, always the same. I try to listen to always the same playlist for the games. I'm very superstitious. Have the same backpack. I really keep it strict. I'm very superstitious athlete.
What happens if you miss or don't do one of those things?
Oh, boy. If I don't have the same playlist or I have one less egg in the morning, I feel like the whole day's ruined. So I always try to have enough food or my playlist the night before so I'm prepared for the next day.
That's funny. I mean, we've been working together now for a little bit. You know, you've been training here, and it's awesome seeing you, you know, work out here and help motivate some of these younger kids and give them advice, take them under your wing. Do you remember that first time you came in and we worked out? You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I do. I was surprised because it was so packed, and the gyms I've had been in before was probably a quarter of that class size. But it was great to see even athletes I've known for years. When I was in high school and I was playing against their sisters, I would see them in the stands, and the little ones that were in the stands now are coming to you for workouts playing D1, D2 basketball. So it's awesome just to see the culture for Long Island basketball doesn't venture too far out, and it's almost like a family. You grow up with these people, you end up playing with their family members or seeing their family members, and it's like a cycle. It comes right back around years later, and you're seeing the same people have the same success as their older brothers or sisters, which is awesome. It wasn't too much of a shock for the, I would say, workouts. I work pretty hard, and I don't see many workouts that are too difficult for me where I end up getting sick or throwing up.
Yeah, no, I mean, you definitely work hard, and, you know, you help lead the way here. What would you say is your least favorite exercise doing here?
Oh, boy. Oh, I would have to say it's a tie between sled pushes and the sandbag circuit. Those two have to really be kicking my butt.
And what would be your favorite? I mean, you just came home, but before you left, we really improved on the dunk factory. You were really getting up on that bar. What would be your favorite thing?
I definitely would say dunk factory because I graduated to the 10-foot bar now. It's a tie between that, and I like the resistance band workouts. I love resistance work. So, again, a tie between those two workouts.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun, you know, helping you through this process and seeing your body change and how much stronger you've gotten, and, you know, to see you succeed at the professional level is, you know, it's so cool. I love watching my athletes, you know, really just do well and succeed. And when you see them day to day grinding it out, getting up early, working out, and then to get to, you know, watch you online and see you do your thing overseas and see your stats, it's, you know, it's really special, you know, which is one of my favorite things about what I do is seeing the progress of my athletes. You know, you also come and train here and train, you know, some of the athletes as well. What's that experience like? One, working with me, you know, every day and just being in this, you know, this atmosphere with all these, you know, athletes here. You still being an athlete, you know, able to, you know, kind of mentor some of these younger kids. What's that process like?
It's great. I love to see how hard these kids are working at their craft and how successful they do want to be in high school and college. And like you said before, almost being a mentor or guiding them in the right direction, whether it be pushing them to do one more rep or pushing them to do as many reps as they can, just to make sure that mentally they're able to focus and get out of their head sometimes with how hard a workout is, or just keep pushing them to do the best that they can. And working with you honestly has been a huge blessing as well. I haven't had someone that I really love working out with in really long time. Between you and when I was younger, of course, Jerry Powell, who you still are in contact with and work with all the time, but definitely it's been a really grateful opportunity I have to be able to play overseas, work out here, and still after I come back a couple months later, I still have a place to work out and a place to train. So it's awesome. Very grateful and thankful for having you.
Yeah, we love having you here. I know, you know, all the kids are excited that you're back. Now being, I guess, a veteran, you know, in the game, what would you say was the biggest or best moment of your career so far?
I would say, again, a tie between when I was in Kosovo. We actually won the championship over there. We didn't lose one game the whole season and end up winning the championship, which was awesome. And then I would say this past season over in Portugal, which was a really good season for me. The season prior to, I said before, I was in Switzerland where COVID occurred and our season got cut short. That was rough back then, but I got the opportunity to play over in Portugal. I got a chance to show my talent over there, and I ended up having a great season. So I would say Portugal having a really good season, having top numbers in the league, and Kosovo winning our championship over there was two of my best experiences.
What advice would you give to a younger girl now, one looking to play college basketball, and maybe if they're in their junior, senior year and they want to play professional basketball, you know, going through everything you've gone through? You know, I know a lot of the stories with agents and, mm-hmm. you know, picking colleges and just everything, the knowledge you have now and the experiences, you know, the things you went through. What advice would you give someone who's being recruited for college and then maybe to a junior, senior in college who's looking to play professional basketball?
Well, definitely for the kids that are still in high school, still, even if you're being recruited by colleges, that they could switch it up and end up going another direction on you quick. So, but don't let that discourage you. Don't let any of the negativity discourage you. Just keep working hard. Keep your grades up, because colleges are looking at that, number one. If you don't have the grades to play, you're, no matter how great you are, they're not going to try to get you into a school if you don't have the GPA that they need you to have. So keep up the schoolwork. Still go to class. Do all your homework, study, all that good stuff. For the kids that are in college now trying to play overseas, I know a lot of people aren't going to like to hear this, but those overseas, like, free agent camps, I'm telling you, that's not it. That's a waste of your time, waste of your money, and a waste of all the time you could spend trying to get an agent, honestly looking it up yourself or emailing them yourself. That's probably my main mistake that I had made, giving all my money, hundreds of, almost thousands of dollars to all these free agent camps after I graduated from college. And honestly, it was just a money grab, taking your money and putting your stuff online. But that's something that could easily be done by yourself, Googling agents, emailing them, putting out your stats, having film. So that's, I would say that's one big, big thing I've learned over the years. So hopefully that helps some girls or guys out there trying to go play overseas professionally.
You know, it's real advice, keeping it real. I mean, you went through a lot and, you know, you're still playing, which is awesome. And it's not even that you're playing, you're having an incredible career as well. So we wish you the best of luck. Definitely want to have you on again when you're in another country or wherever the next stop is. Once, you know, the next season begins, we're going to keep it 100 with Mike Kaplan. So it's going to be a one-word answer, rapid fire. Okay. You ready to roll?
All right, I'm ready. Let's do it.
Sleds or resistance bands?
Resistance.
Beach or snow?
Ah, snow.
Hip-hop or country?
Hip-hop.
J. Cole or Drake?
Drake.
Long distance or sprints?
Sprints.
TikTok or Instagram?
Instagram.
Squats or lunges?
Squats.
FaceTime or text?
Text.
Spotify, Apple Music?
Apple Music.
AirPods or Beats?
Ooh, AirPods.
Or Netflix or Hulu?
Netflix all the way.
My playlist or your playlist?
Ah, mine.
What's your favorite late night snack?
Cheetos.
Cheetos?
Yes.
What kind? The crunchy ones or
The crunchy ones always, not the puffs.
Yeah. Big, you'll eat the whole bag straight.
Oh, for sure.
Great stuff. Thank you, Anastasia, for being on my Capital 100 podcast. I hope everyone out there is listening. She's got great advice. She's been through it all, ups and downs, so she knows what it takes to get to where she is. Great stuff, and can't wait for you now to be home, and we'll get you training again.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.